Y'all glad to be here? Amen. One time my parents were preaching a youth camp somewhere, and during the course of the day, I don't remember what the reason was, but for somehow the Holy Ghost broke out in the middle of the lunch hour. While the kids were standing in line for food, they got to praying and shouting and rolling on the floor. And this little chubby boy came up to my mom after everything was done. And somewhere in the fray, he ended up laying on the ground, and somebody sat on him while he was trying to praise the Lord. He said, "Well, I finally understood that verse. I never understood it before. I was glad when they sat on me. Let us go into the house of the Lord forever." Amen. But I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, aren't you? Glad to be here. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, verse 24, or verse 21. We'll start there. But Titus Shoecraft, my dad's Lloyd Shoecraft, and his mother is Wilma Jean Shoecraft, which some of y'all know. I think they used to go here a long time ago sometime. My grandpa used to work in Evansville. But here in John chapter 4 and verse 21, it says, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Amen. This woman's talking to Jesus, and in their discourse, she first starts out. He says, "Give me to drink." She says, "How is it that thou, being a Jew?" She just knows what he is. She doesn't know who he is. Then a little while later, she says, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." She grew a little bit more respect for him. And then a little later, she says, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She was getting a little closer. And then finally, she says here, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ." She started getting pretty close. And Jesus finally had to say, "Well, I am He." Amen. Amen. Sometimes we miss it altogether, don't we? But Jesus said here, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And here this morning, I'd like to preach on a heart for true worship. I was reading the other day in a commentary, or a sermon on this verse, and he said this was Christ's passion, was to get everybody to really worship in God the way that they should. Amen. What is worship? William Temple said, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God." Now you may say, that's just a bunch of stuff there. But here he said, whenever you see God as holy as He is, you realize I've got to become holy like He is. Whenever you see the truth of God, you feed your mind on that. You get the beauty of God and you purge your imagination from all of those things that may have inhibited it from the world throughout the day. Whenever you see the love of God, your heart is open to that. Whenever you're in true worship, you devote your will to the purpose that God wants it to be. Amen. And that's what true worship is, isn't it? I don't believe it just involves your hands or your feet or your mouth or your voice. I believe it involves your life, your soul, your body, everything about you. The word worship comes from an old Anglo-Saxon term. It means, it's called worthship. And we shortened it down like we do everything else. And it is meant to attribute worth to someone. Whether it was with your life, whether it was with your voice, whatever it was, you had to attribute worth to that person. And I believe here we can attribute worth to God, don't you? Amen. There's different types of worship. There's a worship of repentance, Psalms 51 and 1. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Blot out all my transgressions and cleanse me from my sin. That was a worship of repentance. There was a worship of submission whenever Job was going through his problems. He said, naked came I from the mother's womb, and naked I shall return. What's the next part there? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was saying, whatever you do, God, I'm going to bless you anyway. I'm going to worship you anyway. There was a worship of devotion in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain and was going to sacrifice him there in a worship to God, a worship of devotion. Amen. And I believe here today we can worship Him with all of our heart, don't you? You can worship. There's different ways to worship. You can worship with your mouth. The Bible tells us you can offer up continually a sacrifice of praise to God with your lips. Sacrifice of our lips continuously. And throughout the Bible we see that in the Old Testament there, they wouldn't allow them to bring a lamb with a broken leg or an animal with a broken leg and harmed in some way, spotted in some way. Why should we offer up a sacrifice of our lips that's been harmed and been destroyed and half dead and or maybe all the way dead in some people's circumstance? We ought to offer up a live praise to God that's perfect and holy. Amen? I believe that here it says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I got to dwelling on that word spirit there. And the Bible tells us that a man is made up of three different things. God said, let us make man in our image. So we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Just like God is three persons in one, we are three parts in one, tripartite. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, dividing asunder a body, soul, and spirit. That's what the Word of God can do. He said, create. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, present that we should be holy. Our whole man should be holy, body, soul, and spirit. And here I believe that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, don't you? A sacrifice is praise to God. That's the body part of man. The outside part of man that everybody sees, you got to offer up that as a living sacrifice to God. A lot of people out there, they believe that you can live and worship to God, but your life doesn't have to show it. That's a scary thing, isn't it? We have to have our bodies dedicated to God and holiness to God, to where that we show this world that we are worshiping a true God. The people of this world, they worship their gods. Some people, they gather in stadiums and their whole body will be painted. They'll scream loudly till their voices are gone, jump up and down, maybe even harm themselves or other people worshiping their God. Amen. But I believe here today we can worship God by showing this world what our body is lifting up praise to God. Amen. Also here, you can worship Him. Well, let me say here concerning this, worshiping whether you're outside, God said in James chapter 1 and verse 18 that we were a first fruit unto God. That's the tithe. Did you know that we're the first fruit, the tithe of God's creation? He created this whole world, but we're going to be pulled out of this world one of these days as a worship to God, as a tithe, as a first fruit unto God. Amen. And I believe that Jesus is coming back one of these days, and He's going to take His tithe from this world. This world's going to stay here and be destroyed by a fire and be renovated by fire. But we're going to be stepping out into another place taken by Jesus Christ as His tithe. Amen. But here we can get in a little bit deeper into man and worship Him deeper. Hey, I believe we can get into the soul of man. The soul is made up of intellect and will and emotions. Sometimes our emotions worship other things besides God, don't they? Whenever the things of this world excite you, and you come to church and church doesn't excite you, somebody getting saved doesn't excite you anymore, You're not worshiping God. You're worshiping the things of this world. Amen. But here, if we get our emotions lined up with worshiping the things of God and not the things of the world. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23, it talks about will worship. Whenever you are obeying God, you're worshiping God. The Bible tells us obedience is better than sacrifice. It didn't say that sacrifice was bad. But it said we're getting deeper into the heart of man. Because we're passing up the body, the sacrifice, we're getting into the will of man. The obedience. Amen. And here we got to live our life as obedient and worship unto God. But also here we can get deeper than that and get to the spirit of man. That valve that's open in between us and God. That God can speak through us. In Hebrews chapter 12, we have a very famous verse. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm sure you've heard that quoted before, haven't you? But the verse before that, verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet. And it's talking about there to have a path in between you and God that there's nothing that would hinder you from walking to Him. Nothing that would hinder him from walking to you. It's so straight and so clear that a blind man or a lame man could walk there without any trouble. What if we had that valve completely clean in between us and God where he could reach down and touch us and move on us and worship at any time? Amen. I want to keep that valve open, don't you? I want to keep that streamway where God can speak to me and move through me and touch me at any time. Hey, where you can drive down the road and the Holy Ghost fall on you and you're speaking in tongues because of the power of God that reaches and moves and works in your life at any time. C.H. Spurgeon said that prayer is the root and praise is the fruit unto God. Sometimes when we come to church, I can tell who's really got a prayer life at home because there's no fruit lifted up to God. You got to have that fruit, that root that goes down seeking nutrients from the things of God. Then when you come to church, or any time really, you can lift up that praise, that fruit unto God. Hallelujah. And here, there's some facts about true worship. He tells us here, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. There was a question in that day of where they should worship. The Samaritans, they wanted to worship on Mount Gerizim. The Jews, they worshiped on Mount Zion. Which mountain should we worship on? Our mountain's just as good as your mountain. And people still argue about some things like that. Sometimes when you get to talking to people about church, the first thing they do, tell you what church they go to. So they'll leave. So they want you to leave them alone. That's what it is. Well, I worship on Mount Gerizim. Well, really? Well, I worship on Mount Zion. Well, you know, they just wanted to leave them alone. But here, Jesus Christ, he moved it from where? He said, God is a spirit. It's not where anymore. It's anywhere. You don't have to worship Him in one mountain. You can worship Him anywhere you please. It's not a place anymore. It's a person that we're focusing on. And here today, if we can get our eyes off of the place, off to who's around us and this building and what's going on and how the music is and all of that, and get our eyes on the person. It's no longer a place and the location. It's the Lord that we must worship. It's the one we must get our eyes upon and focus entirely upon Him and worship and praise unto God. If we get into the heart of true worship and get that praise inside of us, God can reach down and touch and move in us no matter where we are at. Hallelujah. This false religion was selective and ignorant and superstitious. They mixed the false religion with the true religion. I've seen some of that out in the world, don't you? They mix some things from. We got the Mormons out there that believe that the devil is the brother of Jesus Christ. That's a mixing of some of the old Norse religions that's from hundreds of years ago. Some of the same principles as the devil had throughout all of them old religions is in the Mormon religion. That's a mixing of the different religions there. They have multiple gods, different things like that. A mixing of the old religions with what the true religion is. Hallelujah. But we've got to worship Him. Him. Not all of these things around. He said you got to worship me in spirit. Here Jesus Christ addressed two people. He addressed the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews, they worshiped a God of the letter. They knew the rules by heart, didn't they? A lot of them, nearly all of the men, if it was possible for them to, they had to have the first five books of the Bible memorized by the time they were 13, I believe it was. That's more than most of us have memorized. I've heard of a few people having close to that or more than that. But here, all of these men had this memorized. They knew the Bible. They knew what was going on. They could go to church. They could tell you. They could go to the synagogue. They could tell you exactly what was going to happen. Probably exactly what the priest was going to tell them that morning, that afternoon, whatever time of praise they had. They prayed probably three times a day, four times a day. They were worshiping a God that was nothing more than some words written down. They worshiped something that was just machinery. They walked to church. They did their little prayer. They probably prayed the same exact thing every time. Turned around and walked back home. Jesus said, we're not worshiping a God of the letter. We're worshiping a God of the Spirit. Amen. He's not in the flesh. This is not worshiping the flesh, not worshiping the letter, but worshiping the Spirit. Hallelujah. I've been around some people. Still to this day, I bought a book some time ago. It said Common Prayer on it. I thought, well, I'll buy that, just see if it has anything good in it. I picked it up, opened it up. It was a book of, I think it was Anglican prayers. That an Anglican priest or an Episcopalian priest open up and just read the prayers you're supposed to say in the church service. That's not of the Spirit. That's not any opening any opening where God can move. I've been in church services before out in Oregon. There's a group of people called the Apostolic Faith. It was off of Azusa Street. They're Trinitarian. But these people, they have a radio broadcast and a thing they post on the internet, a video they post on the internet every Sunday. And they had their services cut down to an hour. They could not go over that or shorter than that. They had somebody read a verse. They had somebody sing a short song. They had somebody do this. They had it all mapped out to where it was exactly an hour long, every single service. They didn't have any opening for the Spirit of God to move. There wasn't nowhere where God could come by and steal the show. And people start getting a hold of God. They had to have an hour-long service, every single service. Hallelujah. That wasn't worshiping God in the Spirit. That was worshiping Him in machinery. Praise God. And also here, he says, in truth, the Samaritans mixed their false religions all with the true religion. And here he said, you've got to worship Him in truth. How many know that you can worship God with the truth of God's Word? There's been times I've been down, I've been praying, and I've not really been getting anywhere. How many know how that feels? And I can open up the Word of God and maybe even just start reading the Psalms to God. Start saying, reading the Psalms, creating me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. I remember when I cried unto you and the Lord heard me. Just start reading the Word of God. Even though the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 24. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. And whenever I started reading the truth of God's Word and started reminding myself of all of His promises, God wasn't no longer far away. The truth of God's word was worship unto him. Hallelujah. And I believe here that we can worship God in spirit and truth, don't you? One man said, our Lord does not approve of idol worship, I-D-O-L, or idol worship, I-D-L-E. He approves of ideal worship. Worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. There is different results of worship here. There's God glorified in us. Whenever we glorify Him, He's glorified in us. There's also God's presence comes down. Because the Bible tells us He dwells in the praises of His people. But there's also a great change that can come upon the church as well. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us here, it's right after that the man was healed at the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And they were talked to by the priests. It says here in verse 23, after they came out, they came to the people. And it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lift up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And they prayed some more there. And in verse 31 it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. They prayed to God, but they started out with praise, didn't they? Said, Lord, You created heaven, earth, and all that in them is. If we reminded ourselves and reminded God of how powerful that He is, He created this world, and I believe He has the power to continue with this world, don't you? If He created your body, I believe He has the power to heal your body. If He created this air, I believe He has the power to make it able for you to breathe again. I believe that God can reach down and move and work, and no matter what is going on, He can reach down and touch your life. He can take out time for you. Hey, if we remind ourselves and God of how powerful that He is. Amen. Here there were sinners saved. Chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles, for many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. The rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Whenever you really lift up God, He magnifies Himself, doesn't He? He glorifies Himself in the people. A.W. Tozer, he said one time, we say that there's a big meeting going on, and that's usually we refer to the amount of people in the meeting. But he said, I believe that any big meeting depends on how big a God you have in the meeting. He said, and if we get a really big God to come down into our meeting, we have a big meeting. We can have a big meeting here tonight, here today, can't we? Hallelujah. He also said, no worship is wholly pleasing to God until there is nothing in me that is displeasing to Him. Amen. How many here today say, I want to have a heart for true worship? I want to get that desire in my heart to where I truly want to worship Him. In my body, my soul, and my spirit, everything about me. Is there anybody here today say, I want to make sure there's nothing in me that's displeasing to God where I can truly worship Him? Why don't we gather around this altar here today? Let's just say, Lord, make me a life that is truly worshipful to You. Make me a man or a woman that's truly worship to God. Amen. We can worship God here today, all day long, through ourselves, through God, lifted up in our bodies, our souls, and our spirit. Y'all just come on, gather on in here this morning. Let's lift up our lives as a worship to God.